This is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. Spin or set your radio dial on Seek almost anywhere in America, and you'll pick up easy listening and pop, oldies, country and classical, shock, jocks, and talk. But if you happen to do it in New York City, and you're not in the shadow of the Empire State Building, you'll also be able to hear some wild sounds and strange music coming from across the Hudson.
You're listening to Steinsky.
He's been swayed by the soft life of the bourgeoisie.
On FMU.
WFMU in East Orange, New Jersey, is not an NPR station. It is one of only a few community listener-supported stations across the country with a format known as freeform. The programming swims against the mainstream tide. A lecture by Alan Watts might be followed by an hour of punk, then all klezmer hits. NPR's radio explorer Ned Wharton set out to discover why this scrappy little station has survived for nearly 40 years in the nation's largest radio market.
WFMU is so far out in the boonies, station manager Ken Friedman says there was a time he was picking up his DJs three mornings a week to bring them into work. Station manager, taxi driver, and soccer mom, he jokes.
Ken, how's it going?
How you doing? I have to hold the dog.
Hello, dog.
Today, he picks me up at the Hoboken subway stop in his dirty white Chevy Corsica, his two-year-old Harry and his dog Dugan in the back seat. It's a 15-minute drive to WFMU, which used to be a college radio station. Now they broadcast from the Ghost Campus that was once Uppsala College.
This was the financial aid office. That's in really bad shape. And you can see the sign there that says Uppsala College, completely covered with graffiti.
The studios are located in a ramshackle old house Ken Friedman says might have been a fraternity in days gone by. We enter through the kitchen, where the small staff has lunch together every day. Through another door, there's a stuffed animal mounted on the wall. The Moose Room, which doubles as performance studio and pledge drive phone center, has maroon shag carpeting and an upright piano with a few cigarette burns on the ivories. Up the stairs to the right is an impressive library with some 30 to 40,000 records, and to the left is the on-air studio.
Hi, WFMU. You've got the DJ line. Did you want to call the office?
Lynn Mullins, known on the air as Trouble, sits at the audio board. In this age of ubiquitous digital music, this is one of the few places you can still hear that nostalgic sound of needles dropping on vinyl. WFMU's program grid is a zany quilt of shows. There's Diane's Kamikaze Fun Machine, described in the listener guide as music to slaughter livestock to. Give the Drummer Some, featuring Micronesian doo-wop and tuba choirs from Mozambique. Garage Rock plays in the middle of the night on unclaimed freight, followed at 6 a.m. by Jewish Moments in the Morning with Nachum Siegel. Ken Friedman says a station philosophy is difficult to pin down.
FMU is so full of contradictions that any kind of philosophy that we've ever discussed is immediately contradicted. More than anything, I probably subscribe to the way Marshall McLuhan described as the definition of art, that art is whatever you can get away with. I kind of feel the same way about freeform radio, that freeform radio is whatever you can get away with. It's exciting radio, spontaneous radio, often humorous, challenging, often irritating.
This makes my brain feel so good.
You're presenting a wide range of styles, spoken words and sound clips from real life, from telephone answering machines, from movies, found sound, as well as extremely obscure music and extremely popular music, and trying to put it together in a way that says something more than what the individual parts are saying.
there are maybe 100 radio stations in the United States that call themselves freeform. Most of them are college or high school stations, comprising a market share that's so small it's not even tracked by the industry. Eric Bollert, associate editor of Rolling Stone, says freeform commercial stations are almost unheard of.
Commercial signals are so valuable these days. If a station has any sort of penetration into a market, they just can't afford to be freeform. And even if they are freeform and they're successful, someone will pay them 10 times what they paid for the station. So with the deregulation of radio last year in particular, it's really a buying spree. And so no one really wants to be in the freeform business.
Nonetheless, WFMU perseveres, and there is a very loyal audience, however limited. Rolling Stone voted WFMU best radio station in America 4 years running from 1991 to 1995. New York Times music critic John Pareles is also a fan.
I would wish that it would be, you know, the Johnny Appleseed for a whole spread of freeform radio, but radio is really tight. There's more money to be made. I mean, I've seen professional radio stations. There's a bin of records with red stickers, and there's a bin of records with blue stickers, and there's a bin of records with yellow stickers, and you can play the red ones 4 times an hour and the blue twice an hour and the yellow stickers once an hour, and then you can choose an oldie, you know, once during your shift. I mean, this is not the kind of people that would work at FMU.
It's like a jungle sometimes. Makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. Makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Outside, it's crowded with people in a hurry.
There's no one reason why people listen to FMU, and there are a lot of people who get very offended because it's just noisy or politically incorrect or overly politically correct also. So you get complaints about everything. It's only been in a few occasions where I feel that somebody really was trying to hurt people. That's kind of where I draw the line. If one of our announcers is playing recordings or saying things on the air that are really intended to hurt people out there for one reason or another, that's where I start having a real problem with it.
You're listening to the all-new Glenn Jones radio program, the Mac Daddy of Sunday afternoons.
Station manager Ken Friedman did have a problem with Glenn Jones. Named best non-commercial disc jockey by New York Press in 1995, Jones mixes 80s pop, show tunes, and punk, but he's been thrown off the air for using profanity at every station he's worked for, and his most recent suspension was last fall, when Friedman says he used racial epithets, obscene language, and violated a smoking ban.
He's into walking the line. He's into pushing the envelope and seeing how far he can go. And he started going too far in many different ways. And the biggest problem I had was the fact that he wasn't allowing me to say, hey, you went too far. And what he's doing in a way is being the archetypical bad boy DJ. And he's turning me into the archetypical evil program director.
I think the program that I do is the overall philosophy of WFMU.
Jonesy! The new and untouchable Glenn Jones radio program featuring X-Ray Burns.
Oh, Jonesy.
Here on WFMU East Orange, New Jersey. Freeform radio the way it ought to be.
The way it is.
Today, the enfants terribles of freeform radio are back on the air with an only slightly repentant Glenn Jones.
I think that the overall philosophy is to do what you want when you want on the air and to take this great freedom and to create something out of it. You know, I've done the show for 11 years. When I've been in love, I've played love songs. I've done shows where I didn't say a word, where I just played 3 hours of heartbreak music and have been told by listeners that I said more in those 3 hours than I could have possibly said if I had spoken. They do understand that the show is more or less the soundtrack of my life.
The radio business is a cruel and shallow money trench, a long plastic hallway where thieves and pimps run free and good men die like dogs.
Despite the rantings on Jones's program, Ken Friedman takes it all in stride.
The thing about radio is that people who are on the edge do the best radio. It's always people who have quirky personalities, possibly personality defects, that do the greatest radio. So I just see it as part of the terrain.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. Good afternoon, and it's a good, it's a beautiful afternoon. The sun is out. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day. I'm beautiful. At least I feel beautiful.
Erwin Chusid has been a DJ on WFMU for 22 years.
WFMU has a personality. It's more than just the sum total of the records we play, the sum total of the disparate characters that we have working here. It's a reflection more of the collective eccentricity of the staff. We're a bunch of weirdos. And it adds up to an identity, to a sense of humor, to a flavor that's identifiable as WFMU.
On the air, Erwin Chusid has championed quirky sounds such as this space-age bachelor pad music of Juan Garcia Esquivel, as well as the work of Raymond Scott, whose music was heard in cartoons of the 1930s. Chusid's experience at WFMU has led him to this unusual side career, and he now represents Esquivel and manages the estate of Raymond Scott.
There's a competition here at WFMU. Long as I've been here, this competition has been underway, and I think it's what helps make the station as good as it is and as interesting as it is. It's a competition to find something before anyone else does and to discover something that everyone else has overlooked.
Rolling Stone's Eric Bollert says this atmosphere of discovery plays an important role.
Yeah, I think it helps whenever a new artist is played on the radio. You never know who's going to hear it. I mean, whether it's a club owner or a booking agent or a record label executive. I mean, it's important for those movers and shakers in the business to be exposed to interesting music. And if FMU can do that on a daily basis, it's an important piece of the puzzle.
There are some unknown artists who will never be heard anywhere except on WFMU. Erwin Chusid.
A friend of mine was working at a record store about 15 years ago, and in order to sell new cassettes, this record store had this promotion underway that if you brought in an old cassette, they would give you a new cassette at a discount. And the store was taking them in and just throwing them in a box in back of the store. And my friend just started digging through that box and listening to what was on those tapes. And he started finding all these home recordings. And he found one in particular that we have since come to identify as Mary May Gets a Deck. It was a girl working at an audio supply store. She made enough money to buy herself a stereo system right there at the store she worked at. And she took the stereo system home, and she went around and recorded everyone in her family.
Oh, well, congratulations, Mary May. This is the biggest surprise of 1977, is to be invited up to your room and to see your beautiful McDonald combination stereo outfit.
Then she took the tape deck upstairs, and she sang along with a record by Kansas. She didn't know the lyrics very well, and she couldn't sing very well.
Carry on my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more.
This was such a treasure, such a priceless moment. And this girl apparently at the time was living in the New Jersey suburbs. We were dreading that she might actually tune in one day and hear herself on the radio. She never called.
But life at WFMU hasn't been all fun and games and romps through records at the Salvation Army. The station has been dogged by legal and financial crises, and at one point, four other community stations operating on or near WFMU's frequency collectively tried to force the station to cut its power in half while increasing power for themselves. After $400,000 in legal fees, the FCC ruled FMU could keep its power, but it had to find a new transmitting tower. They found one, but as luck would have it, a nor'easter blew it over. The owner never fixed it, and they've been forced to look for another tower. But even in the face of all this adversity, Ken Friedman says there were even deeper moments of despair in the station's history.
For me, the station's darkest hour was actually in 1993 when we had to buy the license from the college, and it threw the entire station internally into crisis. We started trying to prepare for the college's closing as early as 1987, and everybody thought we were crazy that the college wasn't really closing. But then by 1990, 1991, it really was looking like a very good possibility that the college would close. And I started trying to convince the staff of the station and the college to sell a license to a not-for-profit group that I'd set up that was comprised of staff members and listeners. And it went on for about 2 years before we finally managed to purchase the license from the college. And in fact, we signed the papers only 5 days before the bottom really fell out of the college.
WFMU signed those papers in 1994. Today, 3 years later, it's time to leave that building on the Uppsala Ghost Campus. They're now purchasing a building in Jersey City, and Ken Friedman is upbeat about the future.
It's really going to make it possible for us to be a community freeform station. It's also going to make it possible for us to interact with the artistic and the musical communities of New York City that are a really big part of our listenership, because we'll be located right on a subway line. So I think we're really, you know, we've been in transition since 1989, and I think that the staff and the audience are pretty happy that despite everything that's happened to us, this horrible litigation and the college closing, we've kept our integrity. We still don't take outside funding from people. We still don't take underwriting. So we've decided to get off of this dead campus and move into the heartland of our listenership. And I think that's going to make so many great things possible for us.
Also on the horizon are hopes for an expanded audience. The WFMU signal is now on satellite, and the station hopes it will be picked up by cable systems. Listeners in western New York can already hear WFMU rebroadcast by a community station in Mount Hope, and later this spring, listeners can click on their website to hear the station over the internet. And freeform radio is now evidently a phenomenon for scholarly attention. New York's Museum of Radio and Television just announced it will hold a symposium about WFMU in October. This is Ned Wharton reporting.
Well, you are my favorite DJ.
This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen.